Welcome to Mornings After 2006. I'm Evan Bogart. With me today is my fellow classmate, Jessica Romero. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. The sun is shining slightly. It's good.
Oh, yeah. It's not here. It's not sunny here. It's cloudy, rainy. Like, it's been raining nonstop in New York, and it's just... It's a bummer. It's summer.
So when the sun does come out for like a second, because that's about usually how long it comes out for, then it's cloudy. But
yeah,
gotta enjoy it.
But yeah, I mean it's just been gloomy like every day. But it's just, it kind of brings your spirits down a little bit because it's just, you're not getting enough sun in your diet, and it's just, I know, it's just gloomy every day, and it's been a really crappy summer so far.
Yeah, totally. It totally has. I could use a lot more sun. We've had a lot of rain. Do you get like any flooding where you're at? Everywhere around here. Like, wouldn't you just get like a lot of rain? Because that was what was happening, you know, the last week.
Yeah. It was, I haven't seen like a lot of flooding here. We're kind of more in the high altitude area and, altitude. Is that what it's called when you're in the mountains? But, it's just high altitude and it doesn't flood much here. The one problem that we have here is the water main breaks. Like, it breaks every other week. Like, they have to shut off the water and they have to fix it. But besides that, it's a small little town. It's pretty awesome. It's a lot different from where I grew up and stuff. So, but it's just a more relaxed environment.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's nice. If you like, you know, peaceful and in the nature, you know?
Yeah. So, but, so this was funny. In the town, they had a speed bump right on Main Street. And I guess they had it for like a week, right? But then they took it out, and I'm guessing what happened was someone was flying in Main Street and hit the speed bump and almost like jumped the car and probably like almost like crashed. But like, I was just like, you know, if you put a speed bump in and like, yeah, someone's going to go like 90 miles an hour, hit that thing and go airborne. But they took it out because I think that's why. It's just like, it's kind of a dangerous, like, you know, putting a speed bump right on a main road.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's like, did they let people know about it too? They recently did something around here in Canandaigua where this road where you were able to turn forever, they just changed it. So now it's like you still see people doing it, but now it's technically illegal. And like, there's now accidents there because people just don't. They're like, oh, it's been here for 20 plus years. Now all of a sudden, no, I didn't know that it changed, you know?
Yeah.
Or this stupid roundabout things that we have around here. What is that? What they're called?
Yeah, roundabouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, I see the roundabouts as like, it is a convenience because like, you don't have to put in a light or anything, but like, it's just the hesitation of the other drivers that are going into the roundabout. It's like, all right, are you going or you're not going? So now I got to go. And it's just a pain in the ass.
So I actually read that somewhere locally here, they're taking out one because there were so many accidents because so many people couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I have seen some silly accidents or things that people do. I'm like,
yeah,
we're going to learn how to drive, but, you know.
I think it costs more to put a roundabout in than just putting a light in, to tell you the truth.
You would say so, because if you think of all the materials, all the signs that they have to have and all like the concrete and how, you know, how everything goes, I would say that probably costs a lot more than just putting in the light.
Yeah. But I don't know. I guess it's kind of convenient because you don't have to wait so long. You could just go in the roundabout. But yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Like, no one likes roundabouts. It's like, I don't know why they put them in. But yeah, it's.
And then you see the younger drivers, you know, like.
Yeah.
they're on their phones, and then you get to that, and it's like, oh god.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, the whole road system is kind of, it's outdated.
But you mean it's, has it been done? That's what you mean, right?
Outdated. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It hasn't been done. It hasn't been that great.
Outdated. It's, you know, we do need some upgrades, but unfortunately, New York State doesn't like to use their money for the roads. So we just have huge potholes and roundabouts.
Yeah. Well, they have, so for a while they wanted, this was like a long time ago, they wanted to do was put magnets in the bottom of cars, and then they wanted to put magnets in the road with a track. So what you'd do is you drive up, you connect to the magnet, and then the magnet would basically drag your car and it would do all the driving for you. They were talking about doing this for a while, but I think it cost like way too much money. But this was back, I read this in a, what is that magazine called? I don't know. It was like a dorky like magazine, but they were talking about doing this and like, yeah, but it costs like way too much. But now they have like self-driving cars, so I guess you don't have to do that.
Don't need magnets. And to be honest, I feel like having a magnet in the car, like that you're driving it, just sounds like maybe like a health hazard of some sort. I don't know.
Well, they have like if you ride a roller coaster, I mean, those are all powered by magnets now, how fast they go. And I haven't caught a case of, you know, some disease or like cancer from a roller coaster ride yet. So I think we're good with the magnets.
Yeah, probably. I guess we'll go with that. But I mean, self-driving, I think, is great.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. But so how was your week?
It was good.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I tried it. Like I said, I always try to like stay as positive, but you know, bike is an interesting journey.
Yeah.
I'll just say that. It's an interesting journey. And I guess it's just really about the mindset. So I could just chuckle a little bit because I've been going through so much, but you know, it's been great. I'm going to say it's been great. How about you?
So funny. So like lately I've been having like brain fog, like it's just been really bad lately. So I did like some research and so I started taking Lion's Mane. Have you ever heard of that?
Of course I have. I love Lion's Mane. Mushrooms are really great for the immune system. They're really great for the brain. They're great.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, good.
So I started taking that, and then there was another one I started taking. It starts with an L. It's for stress. I wish I had the bottle with me, but it's like else and then something something. But I've been taking that. It's just like every morning, it's just major brain fog, and it's just some days like I'll be like, okay, how do I even log into like my work phone right now? And it's just like, yeah, I had to do something. So like I've been trying like different supplements and stuff, and yeah, this Lion's Mane, it's doing good. I like it. I take, so the bottle says I should take like 3 of the supplement pills. So I take 2 in the morning and 1 at night before I go to bed. I want to get something else to help me with the brain fog, but I haven't done much research besides the Lion's Mane.
Well, luckily enough, I am educated on that. So, I mean, I can definitely help you with that, but I mean, there's lots of things that you can do, but a lot of it's going to be, you know, in the gut. I mean, a lot of our health issues stem from the gut, because, and especially with our brains too. So there's a huge connection in between our guts and our brain. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like 80% of our serotonin. So that's our happy feel good hormone, is produced in the gut.
Oh.
So like, and I mean, there's just a huge connection there. So look up that. That's what you should research. The gut-brain connection.
Well, I saw like a, I think it was a Instagram ad about this like called Everyday Dose. And they were talking about all these like supplements in it. And that's how I learned about Lion's Mane, because they were just like, oh, if you need to focus and whatnot, just take Lion's Mane. And so I was just like, I wanted to try the Everyday Dose stuff, but I was just like, I'm kind of hesitant to buy stuff off of Instagram. Like, I don't know.
That's actually
oh, really?
Yeah, it's good. So I think if I remember that correctly, isn't that like a mushroom coffee?
Yeah, so I don't know. It is a mushroom coffee. It does. I think it just tastes like coffee, but I don't know if it has the properties in it that if you were taking a psychedelic mushroom, I don't know if it has that in it. I think it's just maybe just it's
Medicinal.
medicinal. Yeah, I
Medicinal.
don't know.
So in that aspect. No, my sister actually got it and she gave me some to try. It was actually pretty good. And I actually do like mushroom coffee. For somatic is the kind that I've used before. It's pretty much coffee beans, but somehow they infuse them with mushrooms. And it's pretty good. I just because I couldn't drink coffee. Coffee just made me very jittery. It like stomach issues, acid reflux, and it just wasn't doing it for me. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna try some mushroom coffee. And it was pretty good, honestly. And I never had any issues with it. So I mean, that's something you could try too. You can get that from pretty much anywhere. I think you see me get it from Walmart, honestly. So.
Yeah, Walmart carries like the most craziest things. Like you just have to look for them. Every time I go into Walmart, I have the app and I just like type in what I need to find and I'll just find it right away. But like, yeah, there's like some things that you would think Walmart had. Did you know that like Walmart carries sex toys?
Yes, unfortunately, or I do. I was going one time I was at Walmart and I went in the clearance aisle. So this is what was even worse about it is that they were on clearance oven. Okay. I didn't know this thing did. Could I walk in? I'm like, so they have like kid toys, they got like arts, crafts, then you get into like the bedding, and then all the way down at the end, there was a case that's locked. So you
Yeah.
have to go ask somebody to get it. That it's on clearance. And I'm like, yeah. So now that you say that, yes, I do.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, how embarrassing is that? Like, you have to go up, you have to push the button to get someone to, open it up. And that would just be so embarrassing. Like, I mean, why don't they just people buy it online? Just have it shipped to your house. It's less embarrassing. Like, I don't know. I don't think Walmart should carry that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's just
Yeah, I
crazy.
just wanted clearance. Nobody was gonna buy it, you know? But yeah, so no, they have everything. If you need anything, Walmart most likely has it. And if you can't get it in store, you can buy it off their website from a third party.
But I used to go to the Victor Walmart. It's a much smaller Walmart. It's like I think the second smallest in the state of New York. And now I go to a huge super center that it's like it's so huge. It takes like it's like a I would say like a football field and a half. Like it's huge. And but it has like everything. Like anything like you want, it's there. Like, but you just have to use the app because you're not gonna, you'll be wandering around for hours if you were just try to find it yourself.
Yeah, no, I use my app for everything. And honestly too, I do a lot of the pickup orders at Walmart.
Okay.
It's way easier that way, you know.
Yeah.
You just roll right in, they put it in your car. I usually help. I don't make people do it by themselves, but yeah, that's where go in.
I get my groceries delivered. I have Walmart Plus, so it's like I think it's just you pay the delivery driver and that's it. Like you don't have to pay for the fees and stuff. But yeah, I like that convenience. Like sometimes if I don't want to go out, I just, have it delivered and stuff. And it's just convenient. And with the membership, you get like other things like Paramount Plus and like I mean it's worth it. It pays for itself, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Better than Instacart. I don't think you get anything for Instacart, do you?
I used to use Instacart, but then like they just the fees were just outrageous, and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. This is like you would buy probably like maybe $35 worth of groceries, but you end up paying 80, and it's like, oh, I'm not doing this.
That sounds exactly right. I remember I was like, oh, I'm going to do an order and try it out. I looked at just one of the products. It was double. They charged me double. And I'm like, I'm someone who's I mean, I wouldn't call me cheap, but I like to budget and I like to like know where my money's going. And I like to get things that are the cheapest price, you know, at the store. And yeah.
Well, they charge you for they charge you for the convenience. Like you don't have to go anywhere. So they'll be like, okay, if you don't want to go anywhere, we're just going to double the price. And then you have to, you know, pay it if you want it. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It's, I guess I could see why they do it because it's just an easy way to make money. But I don't know. It's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of stupid. I think they, if they just lowered the fees and people would use it more, but I don't know. These tech companies want every dollar, you know?
Yeah, they do. But you know what? They make like Instacart. They do Wegmans, I think, what does Wegmans?
Like, yeah, well, yeah.
Like, you know, Walmart has their own thing, but Wegmans has Instacart. Often when I go in there, that's majority of the people that I see are people with their phones. They're looking at a list and they're scanning them and it's, you know, they got bags already in there.
Yeah.
I see it all the time.
They're digital shoppers. Like just they go in to do shopping for someone else and then they, you know. But some people make that a full-time like thing. They'll just spend the day doing grocery shopping. And then, you know, I think I wouldn't want to do that because it puts miles on your car. Like you have to deliver and stuff. It just puts a crap load of miles on your car. I don't think it's worth it at the end.
No, definitely not. Because I think you got to have like your own insurance and stuff. And like, I know at least for like the Walmart one, because I actually looked into it. I was like, I don't know, I'll look in to see, like, what could I do, like, part-time, like, easy. I'm already going grocery shopping anyways, pick up, like, a couple orders, and they pay you with a debit or something? Like, it's a Walmart debit card or something?
Yeah.
So, like, you have to sign up for that, and, like, there's a lot more involved in it, I guess, but...
Yeah. And then you got to deal with the customers, you know, like let's say if they forgot an item and then you got to deal, you're like the messenger. You're like, oh, well, you know, I'm just delivering it. But then they take it out on you because you're the one that delivered it. And I don't think that's fair.
No, definitely not. But I mean, I think that's in like any business. I mean, I've always done customer service and you always got to deal with somebody because not everyone's going to be happy no matter what you do. But,
yeah,
you know.
So I watched a couple or maybe like an episode of The Mortician. This show, it is wild. So it's about the Lamb family. They were a cremation, like funeral service cremations kind of stuff. And what they did was, when you cremate a body, you can only do one body at a time. You can't multiply bodies. That's illegal. Well, they were doing it. They were just sticking massive amounts of bodies in these like cremation furnaces. And they were charging people $50 a cremation. But what they were doing was they were taking people's like multiple people's ashes and putting them in the urns. So they weren't your loved ones. They were just like random people's like ashes in the urns. And, you know, they did this multiple times. Every year was like more and more bodies they did. They put in the, they would have to break bones and like to jam them in these furnaces. Like, it's a wild story. If you have like an afternoon to kill, I recommend this documentary. It's kind of chilling. It's like very evil. And I don't know. It was wild. Just some of the shit they did. They had like goons that go out. And like, if you reported like that they were doing this, you would get beat up. And this was in it's in this thing in California, a town in California.
Well,
what's that?
Now that I know it's California now, I really got to watch it. Cause you know,
yeah, it's
when was it? And it's, I mean, obviously it's based on the true story or.
Yeah. So it happened, I believe in the 60s and 70s. I could be wrong on that number, but, Pasadena, that's where it was from. Pasadena. And yeah, it was just wild. And they were just like going around picking up bodies for $50, bringing them back, putting them in the, like cramming them in these things. And just cremating them, just like and putting random ashes. It was wild. But the thing is, and then people found out and then they got in trouble. And now I think he's serving. Wow. I think the guy is out for parole now. I could be wrong. Yeah. I thought to myself watching this documentary, I was like, they could have, you know, avoid this happening by, it's going to sound cringy, but videotaping the cremation. They would be like, the person would introduce themselves to be like, hey, this is body number, blah, 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 I'm cremated. And they would do this, and then that would avoid having multiple bodies, being burnt and stuff like that, and to, you know, some scummy guy doing it. And it's just like, basically what they would do is they bring the body in, they would just do like a video entry being like, hey, this is body, blah, 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 I'm cremating it. They videotape it doing that. And so that avoids the risk of, you know, shady people putting multiple bodies in. I think my friend says that's, you know, who would want to see their loved one being cremated? But like, you got to think, you know, the story of like the, you know, the documentary I watched, that would be avoided if they videotaped the whole thing.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, and I know it's kind of gruesome, but I mean, there should be some type of documentation. I mean, there's documentation for, you know, medical offices. And how often have you heard like even medical examiners messing up? We just heard that the last, not that long ago. Or, you know, how many times you've heard hospitals or doctor's office like selling organs out of them?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's what the guy was doing. He was selling organs as well. He was taking out rings and fillings of the, like, you know, just to make an extra buck. But like, this happened for generations. Like the Lamb family was like doing this from like, I want to say the 50s. Like they were just cremating bodies, taking like rings off. And at one point, the mother of the family was getting in on it, and she was writing down how much the urns weighed, so this, she could put random ashes in it, weigh it, and then give it to the customer. Like, they had a whole system, and it was just a wild documentary. It's on Max, it's called The Mortician. But yeah, it was, I don't know, me and my friend were watching it, and we're like, holy crap, like, this is wild.
It's, honestly, stuff like that just baffles me how crazy, I'm going to use that word, but crazy people are, you know, like that type of, it takes a certain kind of person to do that. And not only is it one person, they got tons of people to do it, and they did it forever. Like, you know, and that's how they created their wealth for their family. It sounds like for a while, and it's taking, you know, advantage of other people in a vulnerable state, which is another whole different ball of wax there, that people could be that evil. But yeah, this money, that's all it was, is they were looking to make some money. But no one would know. How could they tell?
Yeah.
But that's sad.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, will do anything for greed. I mean, it's I call greed the devil's, like, you know, bait. That's what I call it. But I don't know. It was just a wild story. I felt like I needed to talk about it because I was just like, you know, they could have fixed the whole problem if they would just videotape each, like, cremation. And then they have a documentation saying, hey, you know, this is the body, it's cremated, this is the ashes going in the urn. Like, it's just a security blanket of, like, knowing they did it right. And no one fooled around with it, you know. But, again, I could see why people wouldn't want to, you know, see their loved ones cremated. But, I mean, again, you know, there's sick people out there and that will do shady shit. And, you know, it is what it is.
I wonder what their protocol is like now, you know? Like, what do funeral homes, like, what's the protocol now, you know? I don't think there is. Well, is there?
Yeah, I don't think there is either. I think, like, it's just, like, it's a business, right? It's not, like, funded by the state or anything, so they can do whatever they want to do. I think that they might have rules and regulations with the state, but, like, they're all family businesses. They've been doing it for generations. I mean, but yeah, I don't know exactly what the rules and stuff like that are now these days. But I don't know. But if I think if I was ever to leave this earth, I would want to get my ashes cremated into a diamond.
I feel like I've heard of that before. I feel like people have done that, right? Well, they also talk about how they've made people into jewelry, like in black market situations. So I think that's a black market kind of thing.
I don't know. Like, so they would take your body and make jewelry out of it?
So it's like this huge thing, and it was like a conspiracy theory in like celebrity land that like they had these, I can't remember if they were red or pink stones that like everyone was wearing at some point. And it was like your way to like say your way into a certain group, you know, is to have one of these rings. And basically that's from somebody that you had taken out and had put into jewelry.
Yeah.
But he made into that, it clearly possibly could, right?
Well, I would want the jewelry to go to a loved one. I wouldn't want to like sell it and be like, hey, this was my, you know, this was Evan Bogart's like ashes, you know, I mean, into a diamond. But I would give it to a loved one. And then, I mean, I don't think they would go out and sell it. You know, it's like, oh, this is my, you know, dead boyfriend's like, you know, ashes like into a diamond. I think it's just more of a like, I mean, give it to a loved one and whatnot. Whatever they do after that. I mean, if they go to a pawn shop and then be like, hey, this is my stinky old boyfriend's like, you know, ashes into a diamond, you know, that's up to them. But I don't think they would ever do that.
No, because you probably only get about $2 for it. And I'm not saying like that's all that you're worth of. And it's just that jewelry at pawn shops are like a dime a dozen. So it was like, yeah, sure, we'll take it.
Yeah. I remember I've only been to a pawn shop maybe like twice in my whole life. I'll tell you a funny story. So I had this stereo surround sound system and I bought it a long time ago. And so I was like, well, I was up for cash. I was like, I didn't have a good job. So I went to a pawn shop to see how much I can get for it for like Christmas presents for like the girlfriend that I had at the time. And so I was, you know, he gave me some money. It wasn't a lot. But then my car got booted in the parking lot at the pawn shop. So I was like, oh, crap. You know, I just got money for the stereo surround sound system that I had. So the guy comes out, he's like, oh, you know, it's going to cost this much. And it was all the money that I got from the stereo surround sound system to unboot my car. So I didn't make any money. I don't practice Santeria. I ain't got no crystal ball. Well, I had $1 million, but I'd spend it all if I could find that Hina in that Sancho. This is crazy. So there's a documentary on Netflix. I don't know the name, but I'll put it on the screen. It was about this Mormon, I guess he was a preacher, right? And he had 20-something wives. He had 20-something wives. And at night, before he went to bed, all the 20 wives would kiss him before bed. So they would line up, and then he would get kisses from each one, right? So then what happens after that is he would pick one of them to sleep with him in bed that night. So it's basically just like a lineup. And then, you know, he would pick one girl to, you know, to sleep with. And, you know, it's just, it's wild, the Mormon religion. It really is. Actually, in the state of New York, there's like this hill. I don't know what it's called, but it's like a famous Mormon. What's that?
Mora Hill?
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, Mora Hill Hajin. I'm fully aware.
Yeah, so that was one of, what is the guy that created Mormonism? Joseph Smith.
Thank you. I should have known that it was Joseph. That's a name. Michaels and Josephs, those are the ones you always got to look out for.
Yeah. So the Mormon religion, right? So Joseph Smith, right? He claimed he had a vision from God. He claimed that he had a vision from God, and there was an extra 10 commandments that were buried in New York, actually. And so he supposedly he had a vision from I think it was God or something like that, and that brought him to where these golden plates were that had the 10 or more commandments. And so he somehow found them, and then he hit them or something like that. I don't exactly know the full story about Mormonism, but it was just, but then you look into it and then they approved having multiple wives, and it was just, I don't know. It was it's a wild religion, but it's just Mormons, and some Mormons believe that, you can marry young people, young minors, that they have minor wives in Salt Lake City, Utah. They have a whole communion of underage, girls marrying adult guys. Like, it gets that deep. And the feds, right, always looked into it and been like, okay, we got to bust these assholes because they're doing stuff to minors and shit. But it always comes down to it's a religion. They're allowed to do it. And so it's sickening. It's the whole, I don't like the religion of Mormonism. I mean, if you're a Mormon out there, you're listening to this, I don't have a problem, but it's not for me.
Yeah. Well, I would consider myself a spiritual person, and I've kind of gone on my own little journey, and I take little pieces of everything. To me, I have found that a lot of the time there are organized groups, including, sections of religion that are almost cult-like. And I'll just say that. There's a lot of things where it's just some mind control, also brainwashing. And, they have whole documentaries on, these types of groups. So once again, I say it's great to have a moral beliefs or something, but I don't know about, having 20 wives. That just sounds, I would not want 20 husbands. No, thank you.
No.
But what's the religion that they believe in? Some type of extraterrestrial thing, What is
So there's a religion, right? It was a cult more than a religion. This guy brought in a bunch of these people and wiped out their bank accounts and told them that aliens were coming and the ship was going to come down and take them. I don't know exactly what happened after that. I haven't really... I've heard about this guy, but what he did was he brainwashed these people saying that aliens were coming, and so he took all their money and said, oh, this is going to help build the ship to get out of the world, the earth. And it was I watched a snip bit of what it was. I don't remember the dude's name, but yeah, it was, religion is, it could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. The bad thing about it is, the brainwash aspect of it. You can have all this religion brainwash you and basically take all your money and your dignity, and religion is your life now. And then you have other people that believe that the faith of the religion helps you, and you're one with God. And me personally, religion, I'm more of a realist. I am a person that believes that there might be a higher power that helps us out, but I think it's up to you to what your life's going to be,
Yeah, I guess I'm pretty much on the same brain wave, I guess, on that. I believe that there's something, because obviously I've seen good and I've seen bad, and, I think there's a source of that, but I do think it is us, I don't know. I believe that the source is in us. We're here to have an experience. And I think that, we should be good people, So, that aspect of it. But I don't think that sometimes religion is 100% wonderful, because there is a lot of manipulation, and hypocritical situations, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But religion.
Right.
Yeah. But, all right, Jess, do you want to get into the news? While Jess is getting ready for the news, we're giving away two tickets to Sublime August 22nd at CMAC. Find out more on our social media. Probably within 1 week, I'm going to order the rough drafts of the t-shirts. I'm going to see how they look. What I do is I go on Temu and custom make one and then have it shipped to my house. And then that's what we're going to do. If someone wants one, I'll just order it from Temu and then, you know, have it shipped out to your house. So, I mean, we're looking into that, but, you know, one step at a time, right?
Yeah. Well, cool. That'll be awesome, right? T-shirt. See, you're not about t-shirts when it comes to music, just podcast, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, I mean, I do have some band t-shirts. I mean, I you know, I support band members, but I wouldn't wear one to a concert, though.
No, well, just, like, you probably don't wear any of your high school, like, t-shirts or anything like that anymore, right? Do you even have any of those?
So I wear Sutton Spoon shirts, but that's about it. Like, I don't have, like, a hoodie or anything from high school. Like, all my clothes. So, I've gained a lot of weight, right? And then I've lost a lot of weight. Gained a lot of weight, lost a lot of weight. So, I have to, like, rotate clothes and, like, just, like, you know, if this shirt fits me today, I'm going to wear it. Like, I was, so, like, the heaviest I was, I think it was, oh, God. So, I'm a skinny, tall guy. So, like, I weighed up to, like, 240 at one point, but when I
in that what is that?
So when I was working from home, probably around when I started 2015, all I did was work from home, and that's when I was a heavy drinker as well. So I was just like, I was gaining weight, I wasn't exercising, I wasn't doing anything, and I just blew up. I have a picture somewhere I might post, I don't know, but I was heavy, dude. And then, so when I stopped drinking and I got, like, when AI came out and ruined my freaking job I had, I had to go back out to the, you know, the real world workforce. So I got this job, filling out orders for Amazon, and I had to lift heavy things all the time, and I lost a ton of weight. So then I had to drink more protein and shit than getting back the weight that I lost. And it's just always a cycle with me. It's just like, I'll weigh like unhealthy, you know, and then it would just go down to normal. And then I don't know. It's just my appetite or shit.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. And honestly, I mean, I just remember you being, you know, tall and.
Yeah, it's just. When I was in high school, they made fun of me because I was skinny. Like, I was a really skinny dude. Like, my dad was skinny. My brother wasn't too skinny, but, like, he was thin too. We were a thin generation. But yeah. All right, Jess. Let me pull up the notes and see what you have.
Yeah, so we're starting with a local story. Local. This is from Bath, so this is not too far from Naples. Let's see, where did it go? A 10-month-old baby crawled out of a second-story window and nearly fell onto her roof. So basically, there was witnesses that were passing by who climbed up to save the child, the baby, and then there was other unsupervised children. So there was multiple children that were outside, were handed over to somebody else, and the parents were arrested. So they were another Joseph. Look, I told you, Joseph. Joseph, he was 38, and Destiny, who was 30. They were arrested on charges of child endangerment and reckless endangerment. They also had two malnourished dogs in the home. And basically, they're in jail right now without bail. I'm a doctor placed in an animal rescue care facility. You'll have to pull up the pictures because they look like
okay.
In a pod. When you look at the pictures, like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Bath had a winner or two.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, these parents, right? Like, sometimes I feel like they, some parents need a psych evaluation before they have a kid. What do you think?
Oh, 100%. I think, honestly, I mean, I'm going to tell you too. I mean, I had my son when I was 30 and I wasn't ready and I wasn't prepared. I had no idea. You know, I've definitely learned on the job, but I've met some people that I am just shocked that they have children. But yes, I do think there should be a test. But how do you test that?
You know, that's a hard question too, because, you know, I guess the state couldn't really test you for that, or like, I don't know who would test you a psych evaluation for that kind of stuff. But I mean, it's just some people don't have the the skills to be responsible for another human. They just don't. And, you know, and then that kid suffers. That kid ends up in the system, or, you know, is physically, you know, and mentally, you know, feel like they were let down because their parents were a piece of shit, you know?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, and I'm just making assumptions just based on the pictures, they look like they may be into drugs. So that's probably what they were doing when their kids were up on the roof or whatever. And that's the sad truth. The fit is that a lot of the time, what needs to be evaluated is people's mental health and what they use to cope with that. Because honestly, alcohol, drugs, and all of that usually is used to numb something, which is usually a trauma or something that we've experienced or something that we're just not dealing with. So I think that that's, you know, but they can't, I mean, even in the court system, people that are, you know, these, honestly, if they were to go and apply to get visitation with that child because they are the parents, they would get it. You know, they could still continue to get custody. They could fight for that and they would get it because they're parents, which rightfully so, because they are the parents. But if they aren't doing anything to help themselves, yes, like you said, this child has to go through this.
Yeah.
Well, why do that? But unfortunately, you know, drugs, alcohol, and, you know, even our mental capacity, you know, could be a problem.
Yeah.
So,
it's just the way life is, you know, I understand, like, you can come in rough times and you can't take care of your kids sometimes. But, like, you have to think to yourself, like, a kid is an 18-year responsibility. You have to look after that kid for 18 years. After that, you know, I mean, you could look after your loved one after they turn 18, but they're physically now an adult and, you know, they have to start paying taxes and stuff like that. But, I mean, like, it is an 18-year commitment. And if you can't make that 18-year commitment, then you cannot have a kid. Because, like, again, that kid could have, you know, mental issues back because they were treated like shit. They could be in the system, foster care. Like, there's a lot of things you have to think about when you have a kid. Like, you know, a lot. It's a game changer. It changes people's lives when you have kids. And some people don't see that and they go all out. They're like, okay, we're gonna have a kid. You know, it might work, it might not work. And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, you're not thinking right.
Yeah. No, I totally agree on that. My whole life changed. Like I said, I was 30 and I wasn't ready. And I, you know, even now today, you know, I'm still like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just, you know, being the best person that I can be. And he comes first, you know? So when I hear things like this, I'm like, how could you? But the thing is that they probably weren't raised to be like that. Like, luckily enough to me, and when you were talking about how, like, it's only 18 years, no, it's a lifetime, you know? Like, I still, my mom, you know, there's four of us, four girls, and, like, we still called her all the time. Like, that's our mom, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, even dad, you know, like, we have that connection where, you know, she's still taking care of us, and I'm 30, you know, 6 years old. So it's a lifetime commitment, and it's definitely, you know, takes a certain person, but, like, know that none of us know what we're doing. It's just that.
Well, I was talking about, like, legal responsibility for the child. But, like, yeah, you would look after your child the whole life. Like, it, you know, but, like, legal responsibility, though, it's 18 years. Like, but, like, yeah, again, like, you know, my parents still, like, you know, look out for me and stuff like that. And I'm grateful for that. But, like, you know, I don't know. It's just, like, some people shouldn't have kids. It's just, it's messed up. But
like a driver's test, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. I agree.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about pawn shops. This gold coin, we'll go with that one.
So there was a gold coin collection that was discovered by some, I think it was family members of a guy that had passed. This was in, I think, France. So they found these coins and it sold for nearly $4 million. So it was hidden in a wall and there was about 1,000 rare coins that were discovered. And let's see, they are dated back to 336 BC. So that's a long time. Some of them came from the French king, from certain French kings as well as Napoleon. So it went to auction and it was $3.8 million. And he didn't have any close family. So it went to some distant relative that probably didn't even know who he was. And neighbors said that they were completely shocked that this was hidden in his wall and no one knew about it.
Oh, my goodness. That is funny. I was hanging out with my friend last night and she wanted a picture hanged up on her wall. And it was like an old picture. And I was like, you know, I've seen like TikTok videos of like people going to like Goodwill and finding these paintings and in the back of them, find money stashed in the painting. And I'm like, oh man, I'm like, check the back of it, like check and just like maybe put like a little slice so you can look in the painting and see if there's any money. Cause like during the Great Depression and stuff like that, people are hiding money in random places. And one of the major ones were paintings. They would go and stash their money in paintings. And so I always tell people, if you're going to buy a old painting or whatever, look in the back of it, look at the, you know, the paper that's on the back of it and see if there's money stashed in it, you know, because like people would stash money during the Great Depression and stuff. So,
yeah, well, that and another thing they used to do was actually put other paintings over paintings that were worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that people wouldn't know that they had it, you know? So that's another thing always to check too, because I was watching this video one time, this person found it was like a silly painting and they ended up taking it off and it ended up being this like rare painting that was worth like so much money. So, I mean, it's people throw away whatever they don't know. So definitely should always look.
Yeah. So I was just like, that would be so awesome just to have a coin worth like $4 million. Like you're like, oh, you know, but the only thing is, though, is that if you sell it, right, you probably won't get the value of the coin. You probably get less. But it all depends, too. Someone really wants it and they'll pay more. But most of the time, they're less valued and you get basically jack shit for it. That's how the system works with coins. It's just you have a coin that's really valued a lot. Some people are willing to pay more, but most of the time they're paid less. So. But it's still, it's $1 million. I mean, I would love to have that.
How about $4 million for 1,000 coins? Just 1,000 coins. I mean, that's a lot. So, but
yeah,
but that's the thing is that like they found someone to pay that amount of money. That's great. So I bet you this distant relative's just so happy that Paul passed away.
So let me give you a scenario, right? So let's say your dad had a $4 million coin, and let's say that he told you not to sell it. He's like, okay, don't sell it. And then let's say you had a hard time, like you're in hardship and you really needed money real fast. Would you have the heart to sell that coin?
Oh, that's a tough question.
I would do, okay, so. If I was in a rough situation where I had something very valued, but I didn't want to, like, you know, sell it and whatnot, I would get a pawn on it. It's like a loan and you could get back the coin, but if you don't pay the loan, they can keep it. So I would go that route. I wouldn't sell it, I don't think. I would just put like a loan on it and, you know, use it that way. And then, you know, eventually pay it off. And then that coin is safe within that pawn shop. Like, it's not going to be sold because it's on loan. So like, I think that's what I would do. But I mean, again, like, some people are so crappy and they sell their loved ones shit when they pass. They're like, oh, you know, let's sell like all everything, you know. And but I think that's kind of, I mean, I guess if it was just a bunch of junk, I would throw it away. But like the values and stuff, you know, it's just some people are just shady and they'll just sell their loved one or stuff. So
it would take me a while to think about it. And honestly, there'd be a lot of like things involved. Like, can I still talk to my dad or is he somewhere else where I can't talk to him? Like, you know, like there's a lot of scenarios with that. But I, you know, I'm pretty true to people's wishes. If like he didn't want it, I would probably keep it. And I'm sure there would be something else that I could find, you know. But I don't know. I don't know what I would have that would be worth $4 million.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I think the most thing I own in value is podcast equipment, and that I would never get rid of because it's just like that the equipment is like my heart. Like I worked hard for it. And I think if I was in a rough time, I still wouldn't sell it because it's just, it brings me joy and shit. And I don't know. I don't think I would ever pawn it or sell it. So, but.
I get that. I'm not for podcast equipment, but like I was trying to think of what I have that is worth anything. And it's probably not much, unfortunately, but you know, that's all right.
Yeah. That's second, like, you know, that's your loved one's stuff. And I don't know. I don't think I would sell it, but.
Sentimental value to me is like important. And my family's super important to me too. So
yeah,
that I believe in spirits. So if my dad was passed and I sold that thing, he'd probably haunt me forever. So no, I'm good.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, it would just be spirits coming in and like fucking with you because you sold shit. But
right, zebra, Ed the zebra. So he is actually a pet zebra. So this isn't from a zoo or anything. Someone has one. I'm in Tennessee somewhere. He escaped just one day after arriving too. So he just got to his new home in Tennessee and he didn't like it. So he has been on the loose. He was on the loose for a week, running through the neighborhood. He even went across a busy highway. And apparently people were loving seeing this zebra. So they made him into an internet star. So there's some memes or whatever they're called, memes or memes or whatever the heck they call them, that people are sharing. So it's now a huge internet sensation. They finally found him in a field and they used a helicopter to take him back to his house. So there was a lot of local and state officials that were involved in the rescue because they were trying to find the zebra, but apparently he's back at home safe.
So like, you know, I've heard of like animals escaping from zoos and stuff like that. And yeah, just imagine you driving down the highway and you hit that zebra going like 60, animals are smart. Like my dog Lucy, like you have to watch her sometimes, but she'll escape. Like she'll go, like you'll watch, like she'll be on the tie out and then like for a second and then somehow slip out and like wander off. Like you have to, like animals are smart. Like they, like, you know, what is it? Dolphins are like, you know, they have intelligence like humans, like dolphins do. And they know how to do, you know, they escape. They know, you know, they're escape artists basically. And it's just wild.
Yeah, actually, animals vibrate a lot higher than we do. Dolphins in particular, they vibrate very, very high. So they actually, I read this thing one time where they banned people having birth by dolphins because somehow they're like able to telepathically connects with humans during birth or something. I was like, oh, okay, interesting. So yeah, animals are high vibrating and they're not dumb. We just decided to domesticate animals. Like, we know we're utter species, you know, like,
yeah.
No, they're very smart. Well, this one clearly was smart and he was gone for a week.
Yeah. It's just, so how would a zebra, so zebras were, you know, in warm climates where, you know, like, what are they, Africa or whatever, they're in like that kind of climate. But imagining a zebra going, like, getting loose and surviving for a week on, like, you know, I don't, what was this, Tennessee, what was it?
Like, you know, trash cans and, you know, do they berries in the woods? Or, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. This animal must have survived somewhere for like a good week, and no one, you know, it must have been like in the woods or something in Tennessee. Like, it's just chilling in the woods, just, you know, minding its own business. I imagine if that zebra was gone for more than a week, it would have been dead. You know, I don't know. It probably would have starved to death. You know, I don't know what zebras eat. Yeah, I mean,
I think it's grass. I don't know, but would you want to have a pet zebra?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm not into zebras. I don't think, I mean, I guess they're just another animal, but like, I don't know. Zebras are about the sizes of like small horses, right?
Yeah. And they kick.
Yeah. Well, so so this is, I always remember this story from high school, right? Remember our old English teacher that had horses? Oh no, what's her name? God, she was a
eighth grade mother.
Maybe, yeah. So we had an English teacher that had horses, right? And one of them kicked her in the face, like just a black and blue mark.
It was either, you know what? It was either Miss Weller or it was her name was Miss Price at the time, but that was a music teacher.
Oh no, it wasn't. No, so I don't think it was a music teacher. It was the English teacher, because I remember like just being like, "Holy shit, she got kicked in the face." But yeah, it was just, yeah. So yeah, but I mean, so now horses, right? Like, I'm not a big fan of them. I'm like, they're big and they can kick and kill you. Yeah, I'm not a pass. Like, I think horses are beautiful. Like, you know, they're a beautiful thing, but it's just like, I would never own one. I wouldn't even own like what's those small horses that are like rut horses, that I think they're called? Mini ponies. Yeah. Mini ponies. I don't even think I would have one of those. Horse is a horse. They take like huge dumps. It's not for me, you know?
My parents, well, my sisters and we had two horses. We had one in particular. My dad got kicked in the chest one time.
Ooh.
It was awful. He was so bruised. He couldn't breathe. It was awful. I got bit one time and I was so bruised. I was young. So I'm not a fan also of big animals like that. You know, just they're very temperamental too. Horses, like, are in particular, like, they go off of people's emotions and they can sense things. So it's kind of like a dog too. Like, if you're not in command, like, a dog knows they can take advantage of you. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, that's smart. They're smart animal.
My brother has a Great Dane, and this thing is huge. It's like a small baby horse. And like, the energy that you give, like you said, you know, determines if the dog likes you or not. You know, when I first saw my brother's dog, like, the thing was scary looking. Like, it's a huge. Great Danes are huge. And I was scared, and the dog was like, knew it, and it just started barking at me. And I was like, but now I can go up to it and like pet it and whatnot. But like, yeah, it's just big animals, not for me. Like, it's just, it's too much.
Yeah, I mean, I think just in general, I think it's animals are wonderful. But for me, I mean, dogs are great too, everything. But just like we domesticated animals to have them in our house. And, you know, they're wild animals, right. You know, we have their own agenda.
Yeah.
I don't know. But all right. So Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family agreed to a $7.4 billion settlement to solve many opioid lawsuits. So the Sacklers will pay $6.5 billion, and Purdue will pay $900 million. All 50 states and U.S. territories have been approved for this deal. So the Sacklers must give up control of Purdue Pharma, and the money will be used to help people and communities that have been hurt by the opioid crisis. Victims can still sue the Sacklers if they want. The settlement still needs approval from a federal bankruptcy, court. But it's basically, they're doing this deal to really put a handle on, you know, the opioid epidemic that we have in the United States. So I think that's, it's kind of like sad, honestly, that it had to come to this, like to finally, like, I don't know if it'll ever stop anything, you know,
yeah.
But
it was, so back in the early 2000s, they had an opioid epidemic in, the Appalachians, like, you know, down south in, or what was it? Down south in the East Coast, there was an opioid epidemic that happened, and it was so easy to get opioid pills and stuff like that, because they would go to a pain specialist, and these pain specialists would automatically give you opioids. But that's how they got you hooked, and then like they'll, you know, you would have to get refills, and then like, you know, they make their money that way. Downside of it is that, you know, it's a controlled substance, and you know, they don't even give the opioids out a lot these days. They usually send you home with like a high powered ibuprofen and shit like that. But yeah, it was bad for a while. You know, have you ever seen in the doctor's office the chart where it's like they have all like these spaces, and it's like this one, you know, you feel good, and this one, you know, you feel bad. I don't know if I can picture it in my head what it looks like. It's just basically the doctor asks you, how do you feel right now? And you point at the smiley face or you point at his frown face. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah. So that was made by an opioid company. That system was made for an opioid company. So most of the time, if they pointed to a sad face, they would automatically give them opioids. That little chart thing was made by, I think it was Pursue or whatever that one drug company was called.
Purdue is chicken.
Is it?
Yeah, Purdue chicken. So the thing is, like, most of these companies are all connected somehow. Okay, so that's the pharmaceuticals. Well, they use pharmaceuticals in your chicken. They put their steroids and all the antibiotics and everything that they do in that. So they have their hand in there. And then they're also doing the feed that they, you know, produce. Purdue might even have a feed company. You know what I mean? That's how they all work. It's like, yep. Coca-Cola. They're somehow connected to the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
You know, anybody? So, I mean, that's a discussion for a whole nother day. But it's totally believable. You know, the medical system, a lot of it became for a very long time pharmaceutical reps. You know, it was what was being sold, what could the doctors sell, you know, just like vaccination and all the things. It's about making money, you know.
Wow.
And by doing that, they're creating another problem, you know.
Yeah.
Pills are just, or medication or anything like that, usually is a band-aid to something else going on, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I was just thinking when you were talking about it, I was just thinking of all of the people that I've known, even just like back in the day, you know, a lot of the opioid, at least around here, problem was from sports. So you would have all of these, you know, kids that would be pushing themselves to participate in high school sports or for college sports, and they're getting injured. And then the first thing they do is they go and they put them on an opioid, you know, give them some Vicodin, you know, give them some hydrocodone, like, you know. And that's what had happened. Is, and I can come up with a handful of people off the top of my head that I'm like, yep, that's exactly what happened. They were a star athlete, you know, they got injured, then they started getting into that, and then they started getting into drugs, you know?
Yeah. So I talk about this on like another podcast I was in. When I had anxiety back in the day, they prescribed me with benzoids, and I started taking benzoids, and I stopped because it was just like every other hour I was taking one. So I was just like, F this, I'm not taking it anymore. And, you know, it made my anxiety, you know, worse because I was hooked on these benzoids. But then, like, I finally, you know, my body kind of got back to normal where I didn't need to take them, and I, like, my anxiety was gone. But, like, it's just too easy to pick up a pill and start taking it for your problem and putting a Band-Aid, like you said, on it. Then, you know, if you just face the problem and not take any medicine for it, you know. But, yeah, I got caught up in the benzoid, like, in the early, mid-2000s. A lot of these like therapists and doctors were giving benzoids for anxiety. And it was a controlled substance that, you know, you take it and you feel fine. But the only downside is highly addictive. It is so addictive. But it's just, I was taking them for a while, and I had to wean myself off of it because I was taking so much of it, and I weaned off of it, and it was the best decision I ever made in my life. You know, it's just so easy to get. You have a doctor fill you out a script for a medicine that you don't really need. It's just, you have to, you know, fight through whatever you're going through. You have to fight through it. But people want the magic pill to get out of anything. They just want a magic pill. They, you know, and it wipes away all their problems. But, I mean, it's never the answer. I think therapy and just self-confidence in yourself is the perfect medicine, basically.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But what else we got? We'll do one more story and then we'll show.
Okay, here we go. We'll talk about this one. So there are doctors in China right now that are warning people against this dangerous viral Chinese sleep hack that they're doing. So older adults have been doing this viral sleep hack. What it basically is looping a U-shaped belt under their chin and then attaching them to playground bars or a tree. And they gently swing all night, basically with this part of their body, I guess, in hopes of relieving insomnia and neck pain. So this was developed by some gentleman named Sun for his own medical issues that he had. And apparently it's gained a lot of popularity, but a lot of medical experts say that it's not safe. Sleep coaches, as well as like physical therapists, say that hanging from your chin can pinch nerves, restrict blood flow, damage vertebrae, and even cause like death. Like if your disc like goes the wrong way, I guess. So, they say that it's not backed by science. It just was developed by some guy that was telling everybody that it fixed his problems.
Yeah. Well, it's like back in the day where snake oil, remember, like people would say, hey, I have this bottle of random shit in it, and I, you know, it will cure this, this, and this, and this. And, you know, it was basically a con. It was just like someone saying, hey, you know, it's snake oil. It's just, it doesn't do anything. It's just a placebo effect. But yeah, like people will come up with the right, like crazy shit saying that it will help you do all kinds of stuff. Like the, you know, this guy, you know, he could have just been like, oh.
Very uncomfortable. If you look at the pictures, like it just doesn't look like that could be comfortable at all. Like I couldn't even sleep like that.
Yeah. So have you ever seen those people that have these, like, they're almost like beds that you lay down on, you hold your head, you know, head up and your arms up, and you swing back and it flips you upside down.
Yes. Inversion table. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. So I always wanted to get one. Sometimes my back hurts a little bit and I always wanted to get one and just swing back and just be like, oh yeah, like this is awesome. But I know they're expensive as hell though. Like I think the last one I saw was like, I don't know, $70. I mean, I guess it's not a lot, but like, I don't know. What happens if it doesn't work? It's just like, now you're stuck with like a swinging bed really. So.
Yeah. I mean, I know a handful of people that have one, and they use them every night. I used one before. I've worked in chiropractic offices also, but they do more like a traction machine. So that's where they're actually like putting you to a machine where they're kind of trying to stretch you out a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I think that.
Yeah. It's just like people will come up with random stuff, just be like, oh, it helps you with this, it helps you with that. But does it really, like, you have to like question it. One thing, I mean, have you ever, so people do this. I mean, I don't care if they do, but it's yoga with goats. Have you ever seen that? Goat yoga? I mean, I understand like the mindset of it is like, you know, you're doing yoga and like the goat jumps on your back and then like, you know, I don't know how it helps or whatever, but like, again, like I don't want to like be stretching when like a goat's taking like a shit and piss next to me, you know, it's just like, it's not relaxing to me. It's just like, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't see some people like they, you know, it's gotta be relaxing to them, but like, I don't think it is for me.
That wouldn't be relaxing to me. And I have not participated in one of those. There's been lots around here. Cause you know, there's lots of farms around here. The other one I've seen is like puppies. So they have puppies that like come through, and then you got like the same thing. What if they're like the puppy goes and pees on your yoga mat and you go and you lay down, and you don't know about it. Well, that's not relaxing.
Yeah, no, it's just like it's just wild, the stuff that they come up with that, you know, that is the trend now. Like people will do it. They'll go out and spend money to do it. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just like a bunch of goats, and it just, you know, I'm going to pass. And then the other one was, what I want to do is sweat yoga. Have you ever heard of that? Like they basically had these rooms that they pump up the heat and then you do yoga and you're supposed to sweat out everything. It's almost like doing yoga in a sauna. But I always wanted to do that. That's the one thing I wanted to do.
I mean, it's a very beneficial thing. I mean, it helps with detox. So detox, you're going to get all of the toxins. You're going to help with your lymph nodes and, you know, help with circulation, blood flow, all of that. So, I mean, it's useful. I don't know about you, though. I know when I've played soccer with grown men, like when I used to play co-ed, when you get a whole bunch of sweaty people together in a room, I don't think that'd be very relaxing to do yoga, because then you'd be like, yeah, who's that smell, you know? But
yeah, I don't know. I guess like if someone wasn't taking care of their body and was just like bad BO, oh yeah, I would get up and leave that class. I would just be like, yep, yeah, this ain't for me. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I just want to do it just for the beneficial factors, just like sweating all the detoxing and stuff like that. There's actually right down the road from where I live is the YMCA, but like, again, YMCA, they charge you up the yin yang for a membership. But my mom has a thing. So I'll go down there and I'll go in the sauna or the pool. But yeah, I love saunas. I don't know why. It's just like, it just sweats out all the detox. You feel so much better afterwards. And it's just, that's the one thing I like to do is the saunas and, you know, swimming and stuff like that. I try to stay active. My job's pretty active where I walk a lot. So, I mean, it works out at the end. That's why I had the job I have now. It's just because it's just a lot of walking. It's a lot of lifting. It helps you burn off the fat that you know, accumulate, like, I don't know, through the weekend and stuff, you know. And I like to stay in shape. I like to, you know, watch what I put in my body now. I used to, you know, didn't care. I put everything in the world in my body, but now I kind of watch what I eat, and, you know, so I don't know.
Well, you gotta, it's the only one we got, you know?
Yeah. I like the people say, you got to treat your body like a temple. And I always thought that was a silly saying, but now it's, you know, it's so true. Like, you just got to watch what you eat and, you know, you'll feel better. And so, but yeah. But with that being said, that was the episode this week. We have two tickets to give away to Sublime with Rome. Well, actually, I think it's just Sublime. Coming to CMAC August 22nd. Yeah, find out more on our social media. Jess, you got anything you want to plug this week?
I mean, I should plug a million different things, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. So how about I'll just plug myself? So I'll plug my website that I have. It's going to be, once I can pull it up, because I wasn't prepared here. So hold on. Or we could just not do it. Why don't we just not do it? We'll do it another time.
All right. We'll have your stuff in the description of the episode. But yeah. So if everything goes right, this episode will be right up right away. But I always have problems. Like, I don't know what it is with my computer. Last week's episode, it wouldn't export. I don't know why. It just wouldn't. It would go like halfway through and then it just die. My whole software would die. So I think I know what the problem was. And so now I think I can pump this episode out quick. So yeah, this will be up pretty soon. Everyone have a great week. And we will see you hopefully next week. And yeah, so until then, we'll see you same place, same time. All right.
See ya.